That's pretty amazing there. Kind of caught me by surprise there. What's going on, everybody? I'm sure you're wondering what the heck is going on here. Frankie, you look so much like you're in HD quality compared to where you normally broadcast from. Well, that's because we're not broadcasting from the house tonight. We're actually broadcasting from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios here at the Kmart Mall, that's right, in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And live like we are always, but I'm very excited to be here to continue season two. This is episode number 13, and I figure since it's so special, we got to do a little pre-show kind of. So this is kind of the show, but it's a pre-show because normally we don't start until 6. But I'm your host with the most, Frankie Slauson, and tonight we will be joined by two guests tonight. We have blues guitar player, I guess blues legend, we'll say, when it comes to the industry, because this woman has done a lot of stuff in her life as far as music goes and when it comes to the blues. Lori Morvan will be our first guest here in about an hour. Kind of one of the reasons why we're doing a pre-show as well, just so we get a little time to chit-chat, whatever. And later on this evening, about 7, we'll have author Daniel Devise on, and he'll be talking about his book about the Blues Brothers. So a lot going on here, but since we're doing a pre-show, I want to introduce one of my crew members and co-host for tonight, Mr. John Roberts.
Hey, man. How are you? Here, I better give myself some applause. How's that?
You're doing good. Doing good.
Hey, welcome.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for letting us use our stuff to get this thing rolling tonight. We figure if we're going to share it with you, we might as well throw you guys out there a bone of kind of what we do. And this way with you know, we've talked about our video podcast company here in Grand Forks and what we do with Renegade Radio, and have always talked about, boy, we should share this a little bit. And So here we go. We'll see what happens.
I feel like I just woke up and I'm living in a dream bubble. Like I just had like the best Supreme pizza you ever had.
Yeah, and we're in the Mall of America. I mean, we're in the Grand Cities Mall in
That's right.
Grand Forks.
Hi, from Bloomington, Minnesota.
Yeah. Nah, it's just us here. But no, this is pretty cool. I'm glad we got together to do this.
Yeah, I am too, because, you know, you have been talking about this for a long time, and I've always... You know, I love studios first and foremost. I mean, that's always been my thing. But, like, you know, a nice setup. I know we got a lot of dings going on, but because, you know.
Oh, that's you.
I think that's me, probably. It's
okay.
Probably our crew members, they want, you know.
Well, I'm not sure stuff, because, you know, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
You know my hearing story.
Yeah.
I was on vacation last week, and I woke up. And I'm completely deaf in one ear now, and it'll be a week on Wednesday. I don't know. I I'm going to blame it on COVID, and I don't know. I was sick for maybe 10 hours, but if you drank as much as I did that night, anybody would be sick for 10 hours, so I'm not sure. I blamed it on my first hangover in 30 years, but, well, maybe not that long. But then again, the next day after that, I woke up and I'm deaf.
Yeah.
So, and then I come back to work today and have to wear headphones, and so this is really messing me up. So
yeah, I suppose you have to do like the DJ thing where it's like, you know, only listen to one ear now.
I feel like I'm in the Bee Gees.
Yeah, let's start singing now. How about that? Yeah.
Don't get me going on the Bee Gee tunes. But no, you got a couple of really good guests tonight too.
Yeah. And let me just mute my phone here real quick here so we don't keep getting the ding dings anyway to interrupt the show. Lori Morvan is Mama T's guest that she was trying to get because, as you know, Lil Bobby's bar is in McIntosh has happened a second annual all women's blues fest, and so last time we were on, we had Amanda Fish on.
Right.
And,
oh yeah.
Unlike last time, we won't get interrupted by 1,000 people trying to interrupt the interview like we did last time. I was still kind of pissed about that.
Honestly, I'm pissed. Mama T's not here.
Yeah. Where are you, Mama T?
Yeah, Bobby. Come on, man. Let that leash go a little longer one night, huh?
Yeah. And Mama T, I sent you the link, and this is the link that they gave me. So for Zoom. So hopefully you can get in. If you don't, like, I know you want the long version, but I'll try to give you the long version if I can.
Yeah, thank goodness. If you would have sent me something different than what I'm used to, I would have had to call my wife because I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And I also want to give cred to Paul, the producer here. You know, when you and I were talking about doing this the first time, I'm like, well, I can't do it myself because I'm dumb. I'm computer illiterate, and I said I got to get one of our producers, and Paul is basically the chairman of the board here. He's the guy.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a producer, and he's figured out all kinds of stuff for us. So we're lucky we got a guy in here tonight because it would all have been based on that. So
well, I'm happy that Paul was nice enough to help too because you know, engineers are important people. Producers are important people. You know, it's like they don't get enough credit for the things that they do. And you know, Mama T's are my producer. You know, for like you know, part-time producer for the show because she's very what will I say? Educational. She's or informative.
There you go.
She likes to. She's good at getting
educational. Is pushing it.
Well, no,
I'm just giving her a hard time.
She knows her stuff. She does her research, and that's what I appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, when people do research,
right.
I should do more research on people that I interview too, and sometimes I do. But if I feel the interview, because nowadays what I do, if I do anything or interview with somebody, I just get a feel for the flow of what the room feels like and the interview feels like. If it feels like it's going to do well and the questions are good and we're getting somewhere, then I'm happy. And if it's not going so well, we just kind of do what we can to make the most of what we can. So I you know, I'm easy to work with. I know you're easy to work with. I know some days aren't always great, and I get a little frustrated sometimes when people tell me last minute about, sorry, Sean, we can't make it tonight, even though we've been planning this for a long time. I hate that. That's my biggest pet peeve when it comes to interviews. But I've got, you know, I understand that that's, you know, also part of the business because I'm sure you're going to tell me that's just part of the business, bro.
Okay.
You know?
Can I add a little bit more to than there's that's part of the business, bro?
Sure.
That's why you need a beer fridge in your studio.
It happens
all the time. And you know, with us here at GFBS, we put promos together and we promote the shows coming up. And I get it. Things do happen. I mean, they happen to everybody. They've happened to me. I got called out of here in the middle of a show one time, and I got up and walked out the door during the middle of a show because I had to. It does happen. It's a bummer. It's part of the business, I guess. But
Yeah,
it happens.
Well, I mean,
I don't mean to change the subject.
Do you like my
new sweatshirt?
Yeah, I do. You know, actually, it goes good with, you know, like, I don't know, it's light blue, like your color.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, you seem like a colorful guy.
I don't know it. I want to give a shout out to Scotty Iverson at River City Speedway. He's the one that hooked me up. Okay. The other half of the Bullring Boys. You can see the picture of the Bullring Boys here on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
We are the announcers at River City Speedway, and he hooked us up with a pair of these Busch Light sweatshirts because he knows that's the drink of champions.
Yeah, for us anyway. No, that's good. You know, it's nice to have people that care enough about you to give you a beer shirt. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. They care enough about me. I've got like 900 hoodies at home. We love you, John. Here's a hoodie.
Yeah. Here's a hoodie for you. But, and as far as the future of Renegade Radio, I mean, you know, if we could do more stuff like this and get more, you know, people know about what's going on and you have an audience, I have a little audience, but, you know, we could grow together.
We both have good audiences, yeah.
Well, we do, but, I mean, I feel like, you know, I mean, I'm grateful, don't get me wrong. I'm honestly grateful, but I just feel like some people should take this more seriously than they do.
Here's what I like about being in here tonight. Normally, I'm in my wife's office. Yep. My wife hooks me up on her computer because I don't know how. I spent 4 decades in radio where nobody ever saw me. And now all of a sudden, here we are on the camera. But when we come in here, we got these big mics. I can hide all of this ugly behind my microphone.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like being back in radio again.
Sure.
You know, you can read the logo on my hat. Uh-huh. You can read the logo on my shirt. And you can see my glasses, and that's fine.
Yep.
That's enough.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's really nice about everything, too, is, like, the quality is great. I mean, you know, like, when we do the show normally, you know, you're always mm-hmm. fuzzy and your internet's not that great, whatever. And I don't mean to, you know, talk about your internet or whatever, but I'm with you right now. You know, it's like everybody's getting a kind of a fresh view of what this is all about.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
in better quality than you are on our other shows anyway.
I wanted to just give you a little heads up. You had asked how we got this whole thing going here, and I might as well do it now before we get going. But it was funny because before the pandemic, I mean, we all know my radio history, 4 decades or whatever, and I got let go for corporate cuts, and I had headhunted my partner here, who's actually my nephew. And he's a salesman by trade, and he's good at it. And I said, hey, why don't you come to work for us? You know, and they guaranteed him all this kind of money and everything. Well, then they fired a whole bunch of us. And he said, screw this.
Yep.
And he said, you know what? Podcasts are the thing. And I've heard about them, never seen one. I mean, it's me, And so he had this vision, and we started on it. And a lot of the people that had followed us and me before in radio, just, you know, they were going to follow us on this venture, and then COVID hit right when we were opening up our studio. But man, 4 years later, and here we go, and now we're hosting Renegade Radio. How about that?
Yeah, that's a nice compliment. You know, I should be humbled by that, and I am. You know, I'm just glad that you guys are nice enough to let me come in here and do this because, you know, I could just be at home just doing what we normally do, and we will still do mm-hmm. episodes like that. But it's just nice to also talk to see your audience too.
Yeah,
you know, so people that don't, because I'm sure nobody has talked about Renegade Radio on here before prior to now.
Yeah, and another thing nice too is I don't hear any dogs barking in the background. Look at that. There's no dogs at all.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I was wondering if he was going to join us. I think he might sit down for a minute here. Nope. False alarm.
Well, you never know. I mean, he might surprise us or whatnot. No, I like your dogs. You know, I tell you what, I've never met him, but, you know, I saw a post that your wife posted a picture a while back of a dog laying next to you, the corgi.
Yep.
Oh, that was so cute.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to rub his belly.
And he normally doesn't do that. That's why she took the picture.
Oh, okay.
He's one of those don't touch me kind of dogs.
Oh.
You know, unless I want something.
Okay.
And I'm begging you to.
Sure. Well, everybody that's on our crew, I have sent you the link and the code and the passcode. So hopefully, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, it's like it is what it is. So we're using Zoom, and we're doing it the professional way tonight, so more than we normally do.
Well, they'll jump in. I want to introduce Paul, the producer.
Hey. I kind of got the camera looking good.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, sorry. I was in the background. I was trying to make sure that...
Trying to make sure everything we're trying to do worked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now you know why I had to get him here. Because
also trying to see if you were live on your Facebook page, but all I could find was your group page.
Oh, the Renegade Radio group page?
Yeah.
I have shared it to, I have a couple pages. I have one that, like I was telling you earlier, was the Soundspot page.
We got an admit here.
Okay. Is somebody popping in?
Yep.
Now, on my end, before, I would have to automatically, I'd have to accept their invite.
Oh, there he is.
Right. Oh, okay.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
Okay, again. That's Sam there. That's the man with the plan right there, the guy who helped me start this whole venture, who should be here tonight with us, literally. But he lives all the way in Ohio.
Middle of nowhere compared to us.
Yeah. But I want, I want him to be a part of this anyway because it's special, because he's the guy that I even dedicate this logo to.
Right.
Without his vision and without
screaming,
without his vision and his knowledge, I'd probably be all right. But it's like I needed him. He's like my podcast godfather here, my pod father.
I'm here.
Oh, hey,
I
my
hear
pod father.
Pod father, yeah.
Hey, pod father.
Yeah,
there we go.
Can you hear the audio good?
He called you a pod father.
Yeah. There
he is,
go.
Right there.
Hey. What's up there, Sam? Hey, how you doing?
A little introduction.
How do we look?
You look all professional and shit.
Yeah. And you do too. You still do. I mean, he got you on the big screen over here, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful sight, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, for those that see, because we're simulcasting tonight, not just on our normal Facebook page, but to the Best Source producer and everything, to all their social media. So, Sam, can you tell the audience, John's audience anyway, a little bit about you, how you got to be where you are?
I mean, is Screaming Sam?
Let's hear the whole bio there, buddy.
What you always tell me all the time. Just a little bit of a bio,
Well, it's like, I started off just a regular guy. I am a regular guy, but went to 1998, went to Disney. I used to have a long beard, long hair, and I shaved my beard off. And I just happened to buy a Mickey Mouse parade and walking through Disney. People are screaming at me, yelling, and this and that. I'm like, what the hell are these people saying? People are asking me if I've ever been on the Howard Stern show. And they're saying, you look like Sam Kinison. So I'm like, damn. So I went in the bathroom with my brother-in-law, and he's like, dude, you do look like Sam Kinison. So we had fun with it after that. I just started doing little shows here and there. And then when I moved to Florida, I was walking into strip clubs and biker bars and all kind of call me places, and they let me have stage time. And the first time I did on stage, I did okay. Second time I froze and I left. I said, I'll never do it again. And after that was history, man. I just started doing it.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that is a good story as far as from what you've told me before. I mean, and I've seen a lot of stuff that you've done and all your work, obviously, because
I had my own internet TV show, radio show, and been on Fox News and all over papers and all over front. I did all that stuff too. But I'm just saying how it all started with the Screaming Sam thing.
Yeah.
So.
Works.
I've been around. I don't know your listeners. Are we on Grand Rapids thing, huh?
We're on
Grand Forks.
Grand Forks North, yep. Or Grand Forks Best Stores.
Back in the day.
That's him right there, Paul. Wow, that's crazy.
That was me, yeah. Now I'm just a handsome old fat fuck. My last word?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's all good. I mean, hey, we're on the internet. We're not on actual territorial radio, so it's all right.
And where do you live now?
I live in Ashtabula, Ohio. I lived in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Tampa, Florida for 20 years. And I moved to Ohio, which don't ask me why I did that. I mean, I have a grandson now, so I wanted to be near my grandson. So.
Sure. I have a lot of relatives in Tampa. I don't have any in Ohio, so I'm just wondering, you know. But then again, I live in Minnesota, an hour from freaking Canada, so.
Yeah.
I heard you guys say in the middle of nowhere. Come on, guys. You guys are in the middle of nowhere.
I know. We're in the tundra.
Well, I mean, it goes to somewhere. I mean, we have to live somewhere.
Yeah.
Who's the next one that's coming up here? Is that Mama T?
That looks like we're going to get somebody else joining us here.
Probably Mama T, because he was all pissed because, you know, the code was wrong. And I'm just like, well, I'll try to send you the
last one. How's everybody?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Does my hair look good?
Oh, yeah, that's Antique Man.
Oh. Yeah, Antique Man. I'm not used to him being this early.
Neither am I.
There he is. Hey. Hey, Antique Man.
Hey.
Good evening.
I'm glad you can make it for this special show.
I hear somebody else, too.
Oh, did Mama T make it, too, now?
Yeah, that's can Mama. You hear me?
Oh, there she is.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you and see you.
Yeah, there you go.
I had so much trouble tonight. I haven't had this much trouble since I started this show.
Well, I didn't.
I mean, since I joined the show.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you also needed a long code, because I thought every code would work, but I guess maybe not.
Well, no, because you guys gave me the meeting ID and the passcode was wrong. And no, I need the long one because I don't have my messenger on Bobby's computer, and I'm using the vocal booth.
Sure.
Computer.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, hey.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're happy to have you on, man. I tell you, the only one that's missing is Mad Dog, but I'm sure he'll show up here soon. I don't know. Did you hear an echo?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
I haven't heard from him all week, so I don't know.
Oh, well, it's all right. I mean, he'll just be missing out on this big opportunity. I don't know. You know, it's an opportunity for us that show up anyway. Those that do the work get the prize, I guess.
Is it just us right now?
Yeah. Us in the live, we're actually live right now. We're also on the Grand Forks Best Source website and all their social medias and everything. So a lot of people are watching you drink water right now.
That's great.
Not me.
Bottled it myself.
It must be smart water, right?
So, Antique Man, since you're originally from the Dakotas, tell the audience that we have now kind of your story a little bit of how you what you used to do and what you do now and just a little mini bio about you.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. Starting in the seventh grade, I had a band called Cocoon, and 6 years ago we made the South Dakota Rock Hall of Fame. But in between all those times, I also ran my own business out of Fargo, North Dakota and Grand Forks. Now I'm retired and living in Texas. And that's it.
I never knew you were in Grand Forks or Fargo.
Yeah. Gave birth to a couple of kids in Grand Forks.
No kidding. They still around here?
One's in Fargo, one's in Rochester, Minnesota, one's in Mott, North Dakota.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'll be coming up mid-May. So I'm going to stop in Manoman and do the karaoke thing.
Yep. Give them some money.
Yeah, you might as well.
Let's not go too far.
Well, if you make it this far, you need to swing in. We're right now. Remember the old Kmart Mall?
I do.
That's where our studio is located. That's where Frankie and I are right now.
Yeah, no, I'll be there.
Yeah, cool, man. It'd be fun to meet you in person.
Yeah.
I'll give you a heads up.
I've never met him either, so this would be the first time for me, too, because if he comes up, he'll have to come see everybody.
Yeah, I'll look forward
absolutely,
to it.
Absolutely. No, we're
yes,
excited.
I was watching on my laptop the very beginning while I was trying to get in. Thanks a lot. There is no leash. Thank you very much.
You should be here.
I know I should.
Yep. You can blame it on Bobby if you want.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Not really.
Okay.
It's kind of me too, but there's a new trainee and there's
a
meeting going on for gambling that I didn't know about. And
I thought you hired a guy from the Hard Rock Cafe. He should already know how to do stuff already.
Well, yeah, but he's a chef, yeah. Not a bartender or someone who brings up drinks. Oh. So I had to.
Yeah, it happens.
Give him a quick.
Oh, so when he worked at the Hard Rock, he was just a chef, not a bartender. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. He was a chef for 14 years at the Hard Rock, and he's like every place. I can't remember his whole resume, but every place he's worked, I've heard of.
Sure.
And he's been a professional chef for 25 years. And he works for peanuts for us, so, you know.
Peanuts, yeah.
I definitely can't afford to pay him what he's worth. That's kind of a thing here.
Oh, so he knows Charles Schultz, the peanuts guy.
Oh, peanuts. Yeah.
Well, she says she works for peanuts.
I
was like, oh, yeah, you work for Charles Schultz? I thought he died a long time ago. Anyway. I have to give you a little roast. I have to roast you a little bit.
There we go.
I mean, we're still our show, even though we're in a different location for tonight. And we'll probably do this, you know, I at least want to do this at least once a month, at least, to come up here and do that. And then, we, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll be nice enough to stream us all the time, you know, if they like us enough.
Yeah.
Well, you could always come here, too, you know, just saying. We've got a whole studio and sound booth.
You know, I'm
still... It would be fun to take it on the road.
I'm still thinking about that because, you know, I just want to make sure you have good enough Wi-Fi. You know,
we do. It's good.
We skip out on the Wi-Fi, then it's like, you know, then everything goes to hell and stuff. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just happy that you guys are on. I love you, the crew. I mean, everybody that's here. I've said it many, many times. And now, this is just something different. This is just something that I've been talking to John about for quite a while and finally making it a reality. So for those who are, you know, not familiar with our work, we're Renegade Radio. We're based out of northern Minnesota, you know, in Brooks, that's where I live anyway. So we're not that, you know, we're practically neighbors, you know, for most of us. The only ones that are far away are Antique Man, who lives in Texas, and John, Screaming Sam, he's in Ohio, and then his brother, Mad Dog, is in Pittsburgh. So it's like, you know, PA, and it's like, we were supposed to be joined. Oh, I forgot to send.
Did you leave somebody out?
That just reminds me. I actually should have sent a link to somebody because we actually are going to have a new crew member too.
Oh,
somebody that's from Carolina, from Raleigh, North Carolina, a friend of mine.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Can you send a link to my Sam Lutz page?
The link to what to the page
my
from
Sam
the show?
Lutz page because I want to use my other phone because this one here. I'll be getting bugged all night with phone calls. So
okay, you just want me to send you the.
Is it an iPhone?
No.
Oh, because I was gonna say that's a little switch on the side. I'm just teasing.
It's fine. I'll send you the link because I gotta send our other guy the link too.
And when I get the link, I'm gonna go off this one and go on the other one.
That's fine.
Okay. I did. I did send the meeting ID and the passcode to Lori. She should be joining us at 6:30, correct?
Yes, that'd be fine. That's why we went early this time, because since we have two guests and since I made the trip to come here, I wanted to make use of our time instead of just like doing nothing for 2 hours or whatever. So, yeah.
I would like to make a point very quickly.
Sure.
Because it's completely behind me.
Sure.
On that TV right there.
Uh-huh.
If you see a blue box that says admit, let me know so I can click the button.
Oh, okay. I got this big bright light shining.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be hard for you.
I can see Antique Man. So.
Antique Man looks Chinese, but he always looks Chinese. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we might be able to see it in that, too, because it'll be on the screen.
So.
Sure. Just make a note, everybody. If you see a blue box, let us know.
Yes. We'll let you know. What was I going to say? Yeah, so I have a crew member that's from Raleigh, North Carolina that I totally forgot to. Here he is here. Hold on here. Talk amongst yourselves here. That should
dead air, dead you. Air.
Dead air.
I can introduce Lori if you want.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, talk about Lori a little bit, about like, you know, how you know her and like... what she's planning on doing for Bob's big festival coming up.
Well, last year she was part of our Women of the Blues Festival. that went over really well last year. We had a bunch of great acts, and she really stood out. Well, her and Shannon Kerfman. Shannon Kerfman's coming back as well. But they call her a cross between Bonnie Raitt and Stevie Ray Vaughan. She just, oh, my God, this woman, she can, she's got a Fender Strat, and she lights this thing on fire. Her, they call it the red hot blues rock. That's with her style of music. Her last album, Gravity, first round Grammy for the best contemporary blues album. She was a semi-finalist in 2019 for best self-produced CD. She was 2008, 2010 she had best self-produced CD for another one of her albums. I think her and her band have like 4 or 5 albums out now.
Okay. That's exciting.
Oh, she's got it going on.
Yeah,
she got a lot of stuff going on, it looks like.
This woman is amazing. Like, when she was a kid, she played the flute and the drums, okay?
So this
she got her pilot's license. She got a scholarship to go to college on volleyball.
Okay? Oh, boy.
To pay for her education and music.
Man. Like, wow.
Nobody paid for
and
my
volleyball.
And she
can fly herself to every gig if she wants to.
Nobody paid for my volleyball. Of course, I was never in volleyball, but.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I'm in the waiting room.
Oh, okay. So that means that you're ready to.
See, I said the blue box. Yeah, remember, guys?
Yeah, but everything's so bright. Remember, bright light? Yeah. Got the bright light shining right on me.
I can see it in his glasses.
Yeah.
I can see the reflection.
Yeah.
All right. We got somebody new joining us.
Yeah, it's me again.
Oh, it's you again. Oh, yeah.
It's me again, Margaret.
We got a new old guy joining us.
Twins.
Okay, I'm going to go off. I'm going to get off this one. See you guys.
Yeah, our new crew member should be coming here pretty soon. His name is Michael Massey, and I've known him for the last, like, almost 20 years.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Thanks to MySpace. Well, he did a show. Well, you probably wouldn't know him, but he did a show in Raleigh, North Carolina called Mikey's Adventures, where he would do like a vlog show, like a man on the street type of show.
Sure.
And it was one of the first shows that I remember watching online back in the day when I was just learning about the radio thing, you know, when I was on Pioneer and all that. And his show gravitated towards me, and I just loved it. And we started doing stuff together a little bit here and there. Not as big as what we've done with Renegade Radio, but I just got a hold of him about a week ago and said, would you like to be a part of the team? Because we need a guy like
him
with his experience. And he's also an actor. You know, he was in some shows and this, you know, little small roles, nothing big. If you remember a show called One Tree Hill.
Oh, yeah.
He did
a
couple appearances on there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, just, you know, a guy just trying to make it, you know, like anybody else. But he, you know. He kind of found Jesus like most people do when they get older. And so he's into that type of stuff. But, you know, the thing about it is, like, with him, he's just a good guy.
Yeah.
You know,
cool.
So whenever he pops on here, whatever, we'll have him introduce himself to everybody. So, but anyway, so, yeah, so Lori Moravan, that she sounds like an interesting person already.
I was talking to my wife, wondering. I asked her. I said, "Have we seen her?" Because we've seen hundreds of blues artists, it came to, we probably have, but we don't remember. You know, no. I mean, man, she's good. Good stuff.
Okay,
she really is.
Well, I like somebody with a lot of history. I mean, geez, especially somebody dedicated to that craft.
Yeah, it's not like she's new. She's been around for a while.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. That is interesting. Because anybody that's dedicated to the craft, you know, it's interesting that they can make a career out of it.
Well, you look at the blues artists, look at the history of the blues. I mean, my gosh, they start way younger than they should even be able to legally sing about the blues. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about like kid Johnny Lang and things like that. When he went by the kid, it's like, wait a minute, dude, you don't legally have any right to sing about the blues. But you watch, he'll be singing about them, and he'll still be doing the blues when he's in his 90s, like every other blues artist does. And that's one of the beauties of it, I think.
I think a lot of people really miss out on, Joey Bonamassa.
Oh, Joe Bonamassa is freaking awesome.
Oh, that guy, you know, he's become so much bigger than everybody thought he was.
Yeah, see, my guy forever was, for all the concerts and guitar players and musicians I've seen, everybody's like, who's your favorite? I don't have one. I might give you my top five. It's like, who's your favorite band? What's your favorite song? I don't have one. I might give you a top five or a top 10. But there's guys, you know, Walter Trout was my guitar guy for a long time. And then you go see Joe Bonamassa a couple of times, and it's like, oh, boy, things change.
And there is no top 10
in
music.
No. There's a million of them. You just got to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, you like it depending on your mood.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Depending on your mood.
Absolutely. Like, with me, I grew up, though, in the beginning liking rock and roll, because that's all I knew. Rock and roll, classic country, because my father got me introduced to that.
Well, yeah.
And but now, as I've done radio and stuff over the course of time, my level of love for music has grown, but, like, I just like all types of stuff, you know? It's like, it's not just one genre for me.
I'm everywhere from Johnny Cash to George Strait to Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, Pink Floyd, Boston. I mean, it's all over the place. I go all over.
Snoop Dogg.
Well, not that much all over.
Here and there, it depends.
Actually, I'd probably listen to him before I would a lot of other ones.
Was rap? But...
Come on, you like your gin and juice, don't you?
You know what? Have you ever heard of the Gourds version of gin and juice?
No.
Google it, the Gourds. You know, like a Halloween decoration, gourd. Check out their version. It's kind of a bluegrassy kind of version. It'll blow your mind. It will blow your mind. I actually played it at River City Speedway one time, and people, I thought they were going to come up and beat me up, so I had to take it off. But it's a bluegrass band playing that song. It's really, really good. Check it out.
I will vouch for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And see, that's the thing about me. You know, what I like as far as music goes, I like I said, a little bit of everything, but I'm a deep track guy. I'm so sick of top 40 BS here at GFBS. I'm so sick and tired of listening to the same songs on the radio being played 100 times a day.
Radio can make a song and break a song.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Because I'm a Greg Kinn fan, and how come they don't play all his catalog? They only play four songs.
Yeah. So I actually got in a heated argument like last... I mean, it wasn't an argument.
A discussion. Heated discussion. Yeah.
Because, they have this song out called Play That Song. And it is it's a total ripoff of Heart and Soul.
Oh, so Huey Lewis. Play that song.
And so it's supposed to be Heart and Soul. This band completely ripped it off. And I mean, you know, like Vanilla Ice is like, I put the little extra beat at the end to make it different.
Sure.
This one just literally ripped off the entire song and just made new lyrics to it and made bank off of it.
Lazy people.
Yeah.
I see something over there. Is that like a little bar or something?
I think Tony's coming on now.
Oh, is that what that pop up on? Because there's a pop up.
He said you
over.
Didn't send him a link. I sent it.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you did, because I just want to make sure, because I saw something pop up on the screen there on the corner there, Paul. I don't know if you see that on there on your side there.
Did you send him a link, Sean?
No, I didn't send him anything. I sent it to the group, but like.
Oh, we're good.
Oh, okay.
Everything's good.
No, I was wondering what that pop-up is over there. Is that a pop-up?
Oh, that's one of my five screens. Just don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just like a letting you know that internet got disconnected or something. Or
I don't know how old this one is. Oh, hey, it would be nice if somebody included Mad Dog in the feed.
They found the chat. That's cool. Yeah, we got a live chat like we do on our normal Facebook page, but we're doing it differently tonight. Yeah, I guess I'm not part of the group because
I didn't get nothing.
You never get nothing there, Mad Dog. You're always crazy about it. You probably didn't even know we were going live back on live tonight until your brother told you. Of course, I've been trying to run promos.
Me first.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay.
Was he coming? Yeah.
He said he was going to be a couple minutes late, and then he said they didn't text me a thing, but you know, if you don't go on the group page, you don't find it.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it either on there.
Well, that's why
yes, I did. I sent it to my other, I sent it to my other page. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I did a promo about it. And, you know, I try to send it to everybody that's in our group. And everything.
You need a business page.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. Convert with the Renegade Radio, the page that I told you about. You know, the one that used to be the Sound Swap. It used to be a business page, even though we never made no money doing that. But it was like, you know, it was for people to sell their crap and everything.
Or just an OnlyFans.
Sure. Because, you know, everybody wants to see us naked while we're talking, you know.
Oh, come on. We got to draw the line.
Well, that's an OnlyFans.
At least for most of us.
Nobody's going to, but what, we're going to do a sewing class at OnlyFans or whatever?
Oh,
no thanks.
That went on the group page. Stop no talking about me, you knucklehead. Drop below your asses.
I'm getting him revved up, Mad Dog. You know? Don't be weak.
I want him to get on here. Yeah,
that's right. He sees you in person, Sean, he'll kick the shit out of you.
He'll give me a bear hug. He'll hug me. Yeah, I know he would. Yeah.
But it's the life out of you, maybe.
He's gonna be a little jealous. I don't know if obviously the camera's not showing it, but there's a picture. There's a actual replica of the belt here.
Oh yeah,
of the World Championship,
the World Heavyweight.
No, that's not a replica. That's totally real. I won that.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's mine, fam.
Anthony. Nobody's getting naked, at least not in here.
Yeah, keep your clothes on there.
And hopefully you're not really getting off.
Oh,
look what it says!
Yeah. You tell us to draw the line here, and you tell them about getting... whatever. Well, that's Renegade Radio for you, though. We have no filter, kind of. You know, we try to be fun, and we be entertaining, and we try to be a little bit different.
Is this my new look?
What's your new... I don't see it. Oh.
So I do have a question, though. Since we are on Grand Forks Best Source, since we're a Grand Forks Best Source, do we have to watch our language and things like that?
Fuck no.
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
I just wanted to make sure, because you know how inappropriate and unprofessional I can be at certain times.
And you can be really wasted, too.
You'd be really surprised what we have been put in Facebook jail for, and it's hard for us when we're in Facebook jail. But we're not regulated by the FCC. So the occasional F-bomb, whatever. They're more, you got to worry about when it comes to like talking about vaccinations, masks, things like that. That's what we got. And we're not going to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
So
nothing
no.
Political. I'm right.
And it's weird because we do talk a lot of politics. But yeah, it's amazing compared to radio, the things we have to worry about. The differences are just, it's so stupid. I mean, it's really dumb, but it is what it is, I guess.
Well, I would say it's, you know, they have their algorithms that will get you banned and everything, but it's kind of weird on the aspect of, you know, you have the FCC rules, but you can get totally banned on social media for just some of the most random, dumbest things that weren't even intentional. We were just talking about Safe Kids of Grand Forks.
Yeah.
That literally makes it so
that's
people
what they
are informed.
Safe Kids Grand Forks.
Yeah. And they're banned for 10 years.
10 years.
Because of some disinformation, whatever. Because
we want to keep them safe, you know?
Well, it wasn't even somebody hacked them or something. And
hacked them and then did dis.
And they do nothing but good things for the community and all of the surrounding communities. And all of a sudden, they get so much of their stuff out on social media that all of a sudden they can't do it now.
Uh-huh.
And so I know Paul was trying to look at a few things, but that's pretty crazy when they come in and say, we can't even do anything anymore.
And then you have enough, you know, reels of just girls twerking.
Yeah, right. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
I do see Lori's in the waiting room, so I'm going to run the bathroom real quick.
Okay.
In the waiting room. Yes. Jeremy Asp says, I just got flagged last week for spam for a post I shared in January. Yeah, just got flagged for it now. Isn't that crazy? We actually did a show here probably 2 years ago or whatever, and it had the word Nazi in the title.
Yeah.
And we got put in Facebook jail for a month, and we didn't even use the word in the show. It just happened to be part of the title of the show. So hopefully we're not going to get banned just because I said it.
Yeah, who knows?
No, but
it's always a crapshoot when it comes to social media.
It depends on which person is which one of their fact checkers that they have. Well, is checking facts.
It's also funny that Facebook is such a huge company and they make so much money, but they can't afford phone support.
Oh yeah. You never get to talk to anybody.
Oh, are you saying that you'd want Facebook to make a phone now too, like how Google made?
No, I'm saying if you want to talk to somebody to figure out how to fix a situation on Facebook, you want to talk to a human.
Oh, sure.
They have absolutely no phone support.
Oh, okay.
There's not one person that is behind a phone on Facebook.
I see what you're saying, though.
See what Anthony, see what he says? I got hacked, but the guy was pretty good looking, so I let him hack me. He's better to looking to me than what the hell.
Wow, Mad Dog, he's something, I tell you.
Hey, it's like someone wrote on, I put a picture of my Volkswagen, and someone put, what's his name again? Hitler is the one who invented Volkswagens. You shouldn't be putting them on. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Geez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's that bad. It's that bad.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's getting that bad.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing. You have to be careful about everything. But, that's what I like about our show. We don't have to be too careful. We just, we'll appreciate the rules that we have, but we'll have fun.
And we don't get too deep into the political stuff and,
I can if you want.
Well, we could. Yeah. Hey, look at that. There's a new guy.
Yeah, there's our newest member of the crew here. His name is Michael Massey. Michael, welcome to Renegade Radio.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not much.
Welcome.
Thank you. You want to tell the group a little bit about yourself, just so we can get through the intros here.
I don't know what to say. So my name is Michael Massey. I've done some radio, TV work, some little bit of movie work here and there. I did my acting thing for a while. We're kind of semi-retired from that, but it's been a good road. It's been a good time.
Yeah, you did that popular show Mikey's Adventures, and I tell you what, I can still remember the episodes that you did. You did some awards ceremony stuff. You did a lot of Man on the Street stuff, and that's what I took inspiration from a long time ago when I knew that there was other people that were doing the things that I wanted to do, and you were doing that. And
it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I did a lot of fun things. It was kind of hodgepodge of a different thing. Like, interviewed one of the highlights, though, was interviewing Ned Beatty, an actor, Ned Beatty. I interviewed him and Adrienne Barbeau. She'd done Swamp Thing and Creep Show.
I think Ned Beatty actually lives in Climax, right down.
No, he actually passed away a while back ago, but he lived in Carlstead.
He lived in Carlstead.
But you're close, though. It's funny, too, because I would have never thought a guy like that, a legend like that would want to live around here. But I guess a lot of people like the area that are entertainers and stuff that I thought were just kind of lost in the woodwork. But nope, I guess people love this area more than you think. Weird.
Yeah.
How cool was he to interview? I've talked to numerous people that have talked to him just standing in his yard. I mean, this little, where we live, we're up in Minnesota. I'm an hour from Canada. Carlstead's about a half hour, if that. And people would actually just pull up because they'd see him and go talk to him. And they said he was just a delightful, good guy. What did you think of him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had called him. He was in, he was doing a promo for an independent movie he had just done. And he was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is kind of maybe an hour and a half away. So I went up there. And after his interview with them, I interviewed him outside. He was awesome. He was an awesome guy. I have to say, he's like, he never met a stranger. He's like, your best friend.
Right.
He told a lot of stories about, he was in a movie called Silver Street. I don't know if you remember that with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
And said that they were great guys to work with. He had told a story like he's in a scene where he'd just been shot and on the Silver Street. And so he was laying there and his stomach was out there, it was a big stomach. And he laughed at Scatman Crothers. Scatman Crothers had a line. He said, "That man is dead. Yeah. Shoot, you kill that man." And his stomach just went up and down. He said, just laughed and laughed and laughed about that. It was so funny.
Oh, dude. Well, I interviewed him once I knew that he was in Carlstadt, like back in 2006. He was the actual inspiration to why I actually did interviews in the first place. And I didn't interview him right away. I actually had to wait a little bit, but I started off with legendary wrestler Greg Hammer Valentine, and then eventually a couple months later, because he was Ned was shooting a shooter at the time with Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
So when he came back, then I got to interview him. Now, it would have been nice to do something like this, you know, back in the day, but all I used to do was good old phone interviews, and that's how, like, Mike and I, and even John and I, you know, in the beginning, it used to just be all phone interviews. Now, thanks to Zoom and everything, we can do whatever we want, you know? So it's been very helpful, I would say, for us to be able to get these people to come on the show to see that they're actually who they say they are, you know? Not that I didn't believe that I wasn't talking to whoever I was interviewing, but you never know, you know?
You know, and I wanted to ask you this, Michael. When we talk about the man on the street thing and what we see now, it's so funny because you might have somebody with a microphone and say, "Hey, what do you think about?" And they'll just throw out a world topic. And nobody knows anything that they're talking about. He's like, "Huh? What?" and there's times where you can see there could be a confrontation, because if it was me with a microphone and if they couldn't answer a simple question like that, I'd probably say something to them. But back then, politically and the way the world is, everything was different. But have you noticed a big difference if you were to do that now compared to when you were doing that?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like now, they don't even know who the first president of the United States was.
Right, right. But they know everything.
Yeah, don't know nothing. They know nothing. And I wonder what the cause of that is. Is that because of maybe social media, that they don't know anything about anything else? They don't know about history. They don't know
I don't think they teach that anymore either.
They don't even know how to tell time anymore. Like, I saw this clip where this guy's going on the street and he's like walking around with a microphone asking people, "How many minutes is a quarter of an hour?" And they would all answer 25 minutes.
Hey, I'm sure it got good views, I'm sure. Yeah. You know?
Can I call a light? Can I use a lifeline?
Yeah.
This is an interesting topic, you know, because you could... How can I explain this? You have these reels and TikTok, and everybody has about, I don't know, what is it? 60 seconds. Like 1 minute to tell a story. And so now if you have like some major event going on, like when we had like the whole Black Lives Matter movement and everything with all the riots and blah, 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 everybody has their 1 minute to try to speak the truth. But can it be, but how many of those can be altered through AI?
Yeah.
Things have changed. Definitely.
Well, you know, the logo that you guys are currently seeing, well, half of that is AI and half of it is my friend Jeremy Asp, who's on the chat, who's watching.
Is he? He's done some of Bobby's videos.
Oh, you know him, huh? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Hey, small
one. I think they're cousins.
I could be your cousin for all we know. You never, just never know. Anyway.
Well, you guys, if I could be your cousin.
Yeah. Oh, Bobby. is that Mad Dog Bobby's there? Yeah. What's going on, Mad Dog? How are you doing there?
Life is good, buddy. Life is good.
That's good. You're on the Grand Forks Best Source YouTube page and everything, and Facebook and everything.
Finally made it.
Yeah, finally made it to the big time. So.
Yeah, you guys look all fancy in that studio.
Yeah.
Heck, man, you're the one looking fancy.
Hey, feel fit, feel good. I'm ready.
All right.
You look like a ghost tonight.
Yeah, I know. I'm glowing, brother. That's it, bro.
No, I mean, because you got that screen, you're like glowed. Like you're
down in profile.
He's got a halo.
Yeah. See, here we got lights and cameras and makeup and hair and all that stuff. Or no, well, we've got some of that.
I still need
a haircut. There's enough room for all of us there.
Oh yeah,
we could squeeze in.
Oh yeah, Absolutely. It's like a round square table.
Okay, now here's the deal. You guys just got to come up to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Antique Matt will be up here. Now let's make the rest of us work it. We can get Mama T here. We can get me and him here.
I'm not going to wake up with some moose in my bed.
Well, we can't help our
women. I didn't tell you I'd take you downtown, dude.
We can't help that our women look the way they do. I tell you.
I was just going to say, only if you're drinking too much the night before.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not the 1800s anymore.
I never met you before. How you doing?
You're talking about Mike, or who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Michael. I never met him before.
Yeah, he's a new member of our crew, Michael Massey.
How you doing? What's going on?
Living large and in charge.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Because he likes to charge things, and he don't pay for stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Well, Lori get the, did you send her the info then, Tanya?
She's in the waiting room. She's been in the waiting room.
She's waiting.
Oh, well, then let's have her come in then.
Everybody's in.
There she is.
Oh, okay.
Hi, sweetheart. I missed you.
How's everybody doing?
There we go.
Hey. We're doing great.
Lori,
how are you doing, Lori?
Marvan, man, this woman, I swear to God, we're either going to have to go live, or you're just going to have to come here May 31st and June 1st, because this woman can shred. She literally lights that Strat on fire.
Yeah.
Got to keep a fire extinguisher on the stage.
Now, fire extinguisher.
Now, before we do the interview, Tanya, can you kind of promote the event that's coming up, like where it's going to be at, and to let the folks here know what's going on?
Well, this will be, I think it's our second Women of the Blues Festival. Last year, the Lori Morvan band was here. This year, it will be held May 31st, June 1st. Lori will be here. Shannon Kerfman will be here.
Where's it going to be at?
Amanda Fish is going to be here at Little Bobby's Bar and Grill.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for.
McIntosh, Minnesota.
Looks like he cooked some nasty food. I love that food you show, man.
You follow the bar page, the Little Bobby Bar and Grill, or the Little Bobby Buzz, or my personal page, Tanya Nelson, or Little Bobby's, you will see pictures of food that you, like, it'll make your mouth water.
Honestly, God, it looks like you took pictures of someone's food and put on. I mean, do you actually cook what you show?
Oh, well, sometimes he doesn't have the picture of the actual food I'm cooking, so he grabs one off the internet. But as soon as I cook it, I send it to him and I say, fix it. I don't have black olives. Don't put the black olives picture on. I don't have guac today.
Black olives are the best.
They are.
So, Tanya, or Mama T, since this is your guest, just like last time, I'll let you do all the introductions and just kind of we'll introduce your guests and let's roll.
Well, Lori already knows who I am. Maybe she should get to know you all over at Grand Forks Best Source there. Maybe you should introduce yourself.
We'll start with John Roberts there.
Okay. Hi, Lori. Huge blues dude I am. I'm an old radio guy. I partner up with my business partner here, my nephew, Paul, the producer. You'll meet him in a minute. We have a video podcast company now called GFBS, Grand Forks Best Source. We're all over the place. We do like a million different kinds of shows and everything. But I am looking forward to seeing you. I had talked to my wife. We have been fans of the blues forever. We've been together for over 30 years. We've been to 100 blues festivals all over the place, and we were trying to figure out if we had seen you before. The 80s was hard on me, so I might not remember. I could have seen you a dozen times, and it could have been yesterday. But if it was back in 1969, I maybe would have remembered it. But thank you for being a guest with us tonight.
Sure. Yeah, happy to be here and looking forward to this festival. You know, we had a good time when we rolled into Little Bobby's on tour. Last year, we typically tour the Midwest every year, This is the first year that we're not going to do a big long tour, but we are flying in and going to do the festival. We had so much fun and met so many nice people and music people. That's what I really liked about it. You know,
they're all over.
When we were doing that show, like I've done a zillion shows. We've toured all over the USA, Canada, Mexico. We've done a tour in Europe. We've probably played about 100 festivals and, you know, it's like and thousands of clubs, but, I can tell when an audience is music people and when they're not.
Right.
It was
right.
Music people. And I really appreciated that. I love that because I'm all about the music.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what most of us are. Pretty much all of us are like here at Renegade Radio. We all
that's awesome.
We all love music, and we all love blues, and we all love rock and roll and country, and every little thing that you can love when it comes to music. Well, I'm the host or co-host of Renegade Radio. My name is Frankie. I've known Mama T for quite a while, and I've known Bob for a long time. We went to college together back in 2003, so we've known each other for over 21 years, and probably about 22 years now. And
awesome.
Or no, it'd be 21 years now. Yeah, 2003.
Yeah. Can't anyway, on the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I'm just remembering that 2023 was last year, so that'd be 20 years.
Right.
And anyway, so we went to broadcasting school together, and you know, I always loved him because of, you know that he did music and everything and loved radio. I've always just been big on blues as well. I grew up loving music. I've always wanted to be a real radio guy, but never seemed to, like, you know, I don't call myself an amateur by any means. Maybe I used to be at one time, but I don't call myself that anymore. I do this podcast with my crew, and we have a good time, and we're just happy to have you on there, Lori.
Great. Thank you.
We got to get Bob. Let Paul do a quick shout out here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh.
you're the crew tonight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm up, huh?
Yeah, you're next.
I was just thinking about how crazy it is that this is the first time I've encountered this, that there was I think they call it like too many chiefs in the tent or something. No, and what I'm talking about is We've never done a Zoom
interview crazy.
Like this with like so many multiple people. So I'm literally running three cameras right now. So Zoom is choosing what camera it wants to use.
Uh-huh.
And then I am going from Zoom to you guys. Uh-huh. And then you are going between the two of you. So I'm like, this good is work, a lot man. Of cameras to try to figure out.
You can see the look on his face. He's kind of patting himself on the back because this is working out really good.
Oh yeah.
You could tell when we first walked in, and you were talking to him about, well, we want to kind of do it this and that and this and that, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, and it's all working. Yeah, so we've never done anything like this in the studio, so this is pretty cool.
Well, I did kind of a crappy job with my camera.
You're fine.
See the other
looks
camera.
Professional.
Hey, we all look like we're professional. That's the most important thing, you know. Yeah. Looking like
it's
we're at HC.
Good.
Even the crew. I mean, yeah, everybody does.
I'll put a microphone here.
Yeah, and well, okay. So Mad Dog, why don't you introduce yourself to Lori?
Hi, Lori. Welcome to the show. I'm Mad Dog. I was a 20-year professional wrestler. That's my brother up at Top Screaming Sandwich. He'll introduce you to him. He was my road manager. We wrestled together. Just got inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in November 4th. I got the key to the city of Pittsburgh that day. And my specialty ain't music. It's usually getting hit in the head with chairs and other things. The interview goes on, you'll see I'm a little wacky. But other than that, that's all my fame to this podcast is.
Hey, you should definitely go to the Grand Forks Best Source YouTube page and watch my gender reveal party.
Oh boy, you got to check that out.
Who, me?
Yeah, it had a wrestling theme. Just dig it out, you'll find it. It was pretty crazy. A gender reveal party. With wrestlers in the backyard. It was pretty cool.
All right. Sam, I think it's your turn.
You lost me there. Well, anyways, welcome to the show, and I will catch that out. Who's next? Screaming. Go ahead, brother.
Yep, son.
I'm Mad Dog's brother, of course, you heard. And I used to save him a lot in the ring because he always got his ass kicked.
No, I never lost.
By you.
Back in the day, I was a Sam Kinison impersonator. I was sponsored by the family. I had my own internet TV show. This is actually me back in the day.
Awesome.
When I was top of my game, but sponsored by the Kinison family. We had a lot of fun. Had my own internet TV radio show, put on TV a lot. I mean, did a lot of stuff, sang with bands on, you know, different places and stuff. So pretty much, you know, plus I was an entrepreneur. I had a bunch of businesses at one time. Still have a few, but I stayed busy. Retired and busy. That's all. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Antique Man?
Hey, good evening. And Lori, I'm your newest fan. I listened to your music last night for the first time, and you are really sweet. I just love the sounds. So I'm going to learn more about you as we go along here.
Great.
It's really great to listen to you. I go back from many years ago in the Dakotas with a band that made the South Dakota Rock Hall of Fame about 6 years ago. Still singing and songwriting. Got a blues song myself somewhere on a radio station in Minnesota, and I'm trying to get on in Grand Forks, but it's really tough. But anyway, welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you.
And there we got one Michael? More. Yes, Michael.
Hey, my name is Michael Massey. I've been in the entertainment business on and off for like 20 plus years, done some movie and TV work. I haven't heard your stuff yet, so you gotta send me a link or something to let me hear your music. What kind of music do you do?
It's easy to find us. You can see my name in the window there, and my website is just LoriMorvan.com. And then from there, you can get to, you know, we have a YouTube channel with videos, and we got the Facebook page, and we got the Instagram, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, so we're high energy rock and blues. And I've put out six CDs, and my fourth CD won a Blues Foundation Award, which is kind of like, in our world, it's like getting a Grammy practically.
That's so awesome.
In the small microcosm of the blues. And we were at the International Blues Challenge, which, you know, bands from hundreds of countries are there. And my CD won the CD competition, and our live band, this was years ago, our live band made top 10 in the world in the finals. And, you know, that was back in 2008. And that was really what started us being able to tour nationwide, because, you know, people saw us. They hold that competition in Memphis every year. And it's people all over the country go there. And then so it was the first time people were seeing us. And then that sort of opened the door. And then we started touring ever since then. We've been touring nationally. And like I said, in Canada, we've headlined a festival. In Mexico, we've been once to Europe, but mostly we're in the U.S.
So you guys do your own stuff. You don't do cover stuff. You do your own thing.
Yeah, we'll do a few covers, but I always kind of put my own little spin on them.
Right. Sure.
So they're stylized. But yeah, I mean, we don't have time in a show to do all my music. I have six CDs. You know, you know, there's not time in a two-hour show to play all my own music.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we like to do a couple of covers, and for reasons. Like if a song moves me, I'll want to do it. But part of the reason that I'll do a cover is because then I can talk about that artist, whether it's John Lee Hooker or it's Big Mama Thornton or, you know, it's Irma Thomas or it's B.B. King or whoever, and just kind of give our thanks and love and appreciation to the people who spearheaded and created this gorgeous, wonderful music that we like to play.
Hey, do you think you ever played North Carolina?
You know, I've had a few fans, you know, email me, you know, are you ever going to come to North Carolina? It's possible, but it's so far away that, you know, I have to mount a whole tour there, or there has to be a festival that wants to fly us in.
Sure.
You know, then we can get there. Because otherwise, to mount a tour, that, you know, that's a long tour. When we're trying to get to some place that's like 3,000 miles away, that's a lot of gigs I got to book to get there, and a lot of gigs I got to book to get home.
I want to ask you this, Laurie. There's a couple of, I could ask you questions all night long, but when you mentioned covers, I feel the same way. There's some covers, it depends on what they mean to you, the artist, when you redo them or when you play them. Are you one, do you like to hear it closer to the way it was originally played, or do you put a complete different Laurie Morvan spin on it? Because it's like sometimes you'll hear, even in concert, of somebody that owns the song, people buy the albums, whatever, they go to the concerts and they sing it completely different. Now, for guys like me, it pisses me off because I like to sing with, you know? But do you, when you do a cover, do you like to keep it more original, or do you put a Laurie Morvan spin on it?
You know, it depends on the song and how much I think we're going to do it. If we're just going to do it briefly, or if for one specific show because it was special to somebody or whatever, then I might stick a little closer to the original. Mm-hmm. But I tend to take things and stylize them quite a bit. Sure. So like I'll take something we do a lot when we do a cover. It's often right out of the blues genre, the big, you know, big name, John Lee Hooker, whatever. But I also will take a song that isn't blues and shove it towards the blues.
Right.
And then I'll try to keep some of the original melody, but it just depends if I want to talk about that artist in a certain way.
Okay.
But typically I like to take things and sometimes I'll change the groove a little bit, but I like to have the melodies be there, or at least sometimes they're there. If I want to change something up on this chorus or whatever and add in some stuff, but then I'll try to make the verses so that people know, because otherwise, if you change it too much, they don't even know it's a cover.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, okay. You know, it's like, why are you doing it?
Yeah,
you
know? Okay, I got one more question, then I'm going to shut the hell up. You consider yourself high-energy rock and blues. High-energy rock and blues. I was listening to Family Line. Complete opposite of high-energy rock. What's the story behind that? Because I thought it was a really, really good tune.
Yeah, thank you. It was, you know, I do explore what I call the singer-songwriter side of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's like once every album, you know, I kind of give myself permission to explore that.
You have to.
And every song that I don't write I don't have a paradigm. It's like that I do this and I do that. And then I do, you know, it's like I let the song kind of lead me down the road. And so if you listen to a whole album of mine, every single song has its own personality and mm-hmm. groove. And you're not going to be like, yep, there's the third shuffle in E or whatever. You know,
right.
I don't do that. And that's part of like when I do a cover, that's why I feel like I honor that artist more by taking it and kind of making my own and pushing it. Because that's what they all were doing back then. Because they were all doing much of the same material, but they would put their own spin on it. And that's the way that you show respect to them.
Right.
But like with a song like Family Line, you know, I wrote that song years ago to just deal with my own pain that I was having over realizing that I was not going to ever have children.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you know, you just think you are, it doesn't happen. And I wrote that song just for myself.
Sure.
Just so that I could grieve and get through that. And I never, ever thought that I would play that for even one other human being, ever. That was just for me. I was too vulnerable. I was being exposed. It's too, you know, you're letting people in on this sadness you have. You don't really want it. But a good friend of mine who mastered, I think, 4 of my records, maybe even 5, you know, we became friends, and he was kind of, well, what new music do you have? I'm not playing that for you, whatever. He finally got me to play it. And I played like, you know, the first two lines of it, sang the first two lines of it. And he was like, you must record and release this song. You have to do it.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's really a good song.
Yeah, did it help you?
Like, Lori, you have to do it. I'm like, John, it doesn't fit in, you know, it's not stylistic anyway. And I go, it's too personal. Well, anyway, he convinced me, and then it opened up this whole beautiful experience I got to have with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had said no, that would have been, that song would have just been buried. It would have helped me, but mm-hmm. It wouldn't have helped anyone else.
Kind of like a little musical rehab for you.
Yeah, right. Well, I always say, writing, you know, I love to write songs. It's the greatest joy in my whole life. And for me, everything starts with the song. It's like the reason that I sing is because I wrote a song. The reason that I wail away on guitar is because I'm trying to convey the feeling I'm having in the song. It's all about, it starts with the song, and I want to share that feeling and connect in like a visceral, spiritual way with people.
That's what the blues is right there. You just explained.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it.
That song you didn't want to hear, that's exactly what people want to hear coming out of your hands and your voice and your...
Exactly.
It could be like the Renegade Radio Blues song.
I always feel like, you know, as a songwriter, the more honest you are and the more open and vulnerable you are, the better, because people can identify with that.
Well, you can sing it better, too. You can sing it with more feeling and more soul when you've lived it, you know?
Exactly. And I've had, you know, many songs over the... All my songs either come from something I lived through or something I've watched someone I love live through, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm able to sort of tap into the energy and the feelings of it, because I can't front a song that I don't believe in. If I don't believe in that song down to the lyric level, I can't do it. You know, I'm the front woman. I have to sell that song.
Right. You
know? It's like, if I don't believe it, that would come through. But that's the way I approach it anyway. Yep. You know.
Well, music is healing. It's a healing thing. People listen to music because it is good for your soul. And when you sing something that people can relate to, like, when you tear open your soul and say, here it is, and people can actually be, wow, I'm not the only one.
Right.
It heals them too, not just writing the song itself and singing it, but it helps other people heal as well.
You know, absolutely. It's funny you say that, because just last night I watched the new, I don't know if you call it a documentary, but... they had that new Bob Marley movie that came out.
It's a documentary. It's kind of like it, or biopic or whatever.
Yeah, biopic, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. I wasn't a huge fan of it. But, you know, I mean, Bob Marley thought that you could, you know, save civilization just through music.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of people believe that.
I mean, my third album was called Cures What Ails You. Because that's what I believe. And I had a song on there called One Little Thing. And the main hook of it is you got to find one little thing that cures what ails you. And for me, it's music, right? And the sharing of the music. So it's like I can remember every detail about writing that song, One Little Thing. And I remember I was going through a hard time in my life, and I stepped out of band rehearsal. We had rehearsal that day, and I stepped out, and the cool night air brushed across my face. And I just remember I felt so much better because I had just shared music with people that I love, you know, right? And I stepped outside, and I said, kind of mumbling under my breath, thank God I have this one little thing that cures what ails me. And I kind of stopped in my tracks, and I went, wow, that's my next song. And I went home and wrote that song. Well, that song, like, people will write me letters and emails and things, and they'll say, you know, that song helped me get through, you know, when my dad died, or when, you know, whatever it might have been, or my son died way too young, and I listened to that song over and over. And, you know, interestingly, that you heard Family Line was Family Line. I got the most beautiful handwritten letter from a guy in the Midwest. And he said, I just want you to know, he goes, you know, I'm a guy and I can't talk about this stuff, but my wife didn't want to have children and I want children. And, you know, we were splitting up and over it. And I couldn't talk to my parents about it because I'm a guy, you know, he kept, I'm a guy and I don't have the words. He said, so I took your song Family Line and I played it for my parents. And then I was able to talk to them and say, I feel that way. That's how I feel. I'm heartbroken over this. And, you know, it was like, it was this beautiful letter. And I'm like, when I got that letter, I just remember going, and I almost didn't record that song because I thought I was too vulnerable in it. Who would want to know that about me, you know? So music.
Did you cry?
Oh, I cried. Of course. I cried. I bawled like a baby when I wrote the song. I cried. We had to stop the recording session because I cried in the middle of singing it. Then when I was one of the biggest musical blessings of my life in this world was I got to go to George Duke's house in the Hollywood Hills with all his Grammys everywhere. And he played piano on that song, that the beautiful, gorgeous, lush, amazing, unbelievable piano you hear on that song is George Duke. Oh, my God. Wow. And I was in the studio and, you know, George, God rest his soul. I miss him, but he's a big guy. Right. And George comes in and he's a genius. It's like for me, it's the first time in my life that I was in the actual physical presence of a genius. Right.
Oh,
so George, he's in there warming up. And I looked at the engineer, you know, because George was just warming up. I'm like, just record that. It's great. You don't need anything, you know. So, but George, we play through the song and I'm, you know, on the microphone talking to George, telling him what I want, whatever. And he comes in, he takes the sheet music I'd give him. He kind of sets it up. He's this huge guy. He sits down and he just looks at me and he goes, good song. And I was like, in my little heart, I was like, I can die now. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it was, and it's like all of that happened for me because I wrote a song, you know, like sometimes it just blows my mind. It's like this thing that has come out of my pain or my joy or my suffering or my celebration, whatever it might be. And I choose to put words to it and music and put it out in the world. And then I meet the most awesome people, fans, and that become friends, that become family, that, you know, and I'm in the Hollywood Hills with George Duke and, you know, all these various things. It's like music opens all those doors for me. It's one of the things I love about it.
So,
you know, all I meant was that, did you cry when you got the letter? I was almost crying listening to you talk about it.
Yeah, I did cry. That letter came in, and I'm telling you, it was not an email, it was not a Facebook message, this was a handwritten piece of paper that this man took the time to write me. And I did. I remember sitting on the couch and reading that letter a couple of times and just, you know, the tears coming down.
Yeah. I was wondering if your pilot's license is still active and if you've ever had to fly yourself to a gig.
No, you know, I haven't flown in a very long time. And, you know, I learned to fly in the Midwest and, you know, it's like I have about 200 hours of flight time. So I have my private instrument, multi-engine and commercial pilot's ratings, which all have lapsed because I haven't flown in so long.
Lori.
But it was like, you know, the thing was you'd be up there and it's like, okay, you know, the instructor would pull pull the engines back. And then, you know, it was like, okay, you just had engine failure. And it's like, okay, pick the cornfield you're going to land in, you know. Well, I live in Long Beach now, you know, I mean, it's like Southern California. it's busy here. I'm like, man, if you have engine trouble here, I guess you're trying to land on a freeway for crying out loud. You know, I don't know.
You ever fly a Cessna 172?
Yeah, I flew Beechcraft Sports, but oh, I do sure, have sure. Oh, probably half a dozen hours or maybe 10 mm-hmm. hours in a Cessna 172.
I went down in one back in 1988, middle of nowhere. It was 38 below zero was the temperature. And nobody knew we were out there. This was before cell phones and all that stuff. But, yeah, quite the story. So when I see you in McIntosh, we'll have to sit down and bullshit about that.
Yeah. I loved flying. And, I mean, I briefly, very briefly thought about, well, you know, do I want to fly? Do I want to be a pilot, an airline pilot? And, you know, at the time I decided, no, I don't want to do that, you know. And I actually got to Southern California because I was an electrical engineer in aerospace. That was how I got to Southern California. Okay. I took a job in aerospace. I was an engineer for 3 years. And then I went into my boss, who looked just like the Marlboro Man.
Cool.
The leathery. Yeah, he's coolest guy ever. I loved him. And I was just like, Bob, I'm leaving engineering. I got to go play music. And he about came across his desk at me. What? You know, I'm like, man, I got to go do it. It's like, engineering's great. You guys are cool. It challenges my brain. But music fills my heart and my soul. I got to go do it. So,
did you make as much money?
What? Say that again?
Did you make as much money than you were in engineering?
So I left engineering. I was playing music full time. So this would have been, oh gosh, this would have been the late 80s. And back then there were 5-night-a-week gigs. So like you'd set up in a club on Tuesday and you'd play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all at the same club, you know, 9 to 1:30. And then you'd pack up and then you'd drive to the next town or whatever, and then you would play. So, but I mean, and I remember at one point we played like 30 days in a row because we'd get off nights somewhere else. Jeez. You know, so you get good fast because like there's nothing to do. You're out on the road. I'd practice for 3 or 4 hours in my hotel room and then play for 4.5 hours every night. So that's how you get your chops real fast. But yeah, then I got really, really poor. And when I decided I wanted to record my own music, I knew I needed more money. And that's when, so then I started teaching.
Yep.
So then I juggled teaching and touring, and I juggled that for 30 years.
Wow.
So that I could afford to make my records and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and now I don't have to do that. Now I just have one. But, you know, a long time I had to do that way. So I worked a lot of like, oh, I'd say 70 to 90 hour weeks between my two careers.
And I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to know, did our other guests show up at all yet?
Daniel? Yeah, I was just going to say, we're running over. We could all talk to you.
I don't want Lori to leave, though.
Did he show up? Was that who you popped in? Oh, Daniel is here? Okay, because I didn't know if he got my message or not.
It just goes to the person that's talking. That's how Zoom
works. Oh, yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah, we have no.
I know there's a way, too, if you, like later on or whatever, I can always show you, but there's a way to get everybody in the same screen. There is a way to do
that. I can put it in gallery mode if you want.
You know the gallery mode? Yeah, do that.
It's literally like I can just
click a button. Go right ahead, man. Because then we can see everybody and you don't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, I don't get to see Anthony all the time now.
We all love you so much, Lori, and I can't wait to see you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate
it. And I hope everybody can come to the festival. You know, little Bobby and Tanya, they're working so hard on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to meet you all in person, and I guarantee you come to that, you open up your heart, I'm going to fill it up with some rock and blues.
Awesome. There
you
go. I'm going to be there.
Red hot. I will be there.
We'll all try to be there.
All right.
I live in Pittsburgh.
Hey, we played outside of Pittsburgh. We played in at a thing called Summer Sounds in Greensburg.
I know where Greensburg is. I used to be the
fan. There you go. Now it's smaller, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah. I know where
that. That's a Drexky Entertainment here.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
All right, guys. Fine.
I'm starting to look like CNN.
See y'all. So nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Love you, baby.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's cool. Good to see you, Lori. All right. So now, because I can barely see. That. Is he in the middle or where is he?
Yeah, he's in the middle.
No, Daniel.
I don't even know.
Down the bottom.
Daniel's on the bottom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, on the bottom. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I can't hurt. There he is.
You can go back to that mode again for this because you don't have to change it back to gallery.
Trying to figure it out, Daniel. Be patient.
Because I can barely see I can barely see Daniel on the bottom there. You can.
Daniel, you there? Can you hear us, bud?
No, I can. I can hear him, but I mean, like, I can barely see him.
Oh, well, just pretend.
Okay, I'll just pretend. We'll just do radio here. We are Renegade Radio. How's it going, Daniel? This is Frankie Slauson here, the guy who sent you the invite to be a part of the show.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Can you guys hear me all right? I'm using my son's microphone from his World of Warcraft
games. we can hear you playing. We can hear you really good, man.
Good.
Yeah, you sound good, and I can see you a little bit. It's just that you're smaller now, and I'm normally not this far away from my computer screen because normally we don't do stuff here in a professional setting as far as a big studio. But we're three of us are broadcasting from the Grand Forks Best Source page here in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So. At a studio. Normally, I do all my shows from my house, so I can, I'm more closer to the camera. But anyway, we're happy to have you on the show, my friend, because it's nice to see that there's authors out there that are doing really good things about really good topics and stuff that has nothing to do with like politics or wars or whatever, talking about music and entertainment and. Who don't love the Blues Brothers,
Let's talk about something really quickly, too, because I'm going to shamelessly plug this. If any of you want to pay me to learn how to stream, like, awesomely for really cheap, you can get a hold of me. Go to gfbestsource.com, or you can email me at local@gfbestsource.
There you go.
I have a plethora of knowledge when it comes to this
and what's
stuff.
What's great about Paul is he looks just like Jimmy Kimmel, so he could easily be a Jimmy Kimmel lookalike.
All right, and the show is over.
I noticed that when I first saw you, like, wait a minute, this is Jimmy Kimmel.
He doesn't look like Jimmy Kimmel. Thank God he doesn't.
Well, either that or Dolph Ziggler, or the wrestler.
He's not bad, yeah.
Maybe we should introduce Dolph ourselves to Daniel.
Anyway.
You go by Daniel or Dan?
Oh, either one.
All right, well, I'll start off then. Daniel, my name is Frankie Slauson. I'm the co-host of Renegade Radio. We started this podcast back in August with just Screaming Sam and myself, and then it just kind of suddenly grew, and now we're really jamming. Everybody that you see and talk to tonight all have something to do with entertainment in one way or another. So we have a good group of people that are from Minnesota, we got Carolinas, we got Ohio and Pennsylvania. So it's
Texas, and
Texas, yes, can't forget about Texas. A plethora of people. So I'll let everybody else introduce. We'll let John Roberts start, and then we'll go into the interview.
I tried to zoom in on you, it didn't work.
Oh, hey, Daniel, nice to meet you. I'm John. We're in my partner's studio right now in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which is right on the Minnesota-North Dakota border, about an hour from Canada. I've been doing radio for 4+ decades, and now we're doing the video podcast thing. I still do radio and a lot of voice work, but I do want to ask you one thing right now before the rest of the people get to introduce themselves. Your wife, is she editor with the Washington Post?
Well, she's not the editor, but she's
one of them. Does your writing style and hers ever clash? I just want to know that. And how do you deal with it?
Editors edit.
But they still edit what they want to edit. I'm wondering, do you ever have any just personality conflicts with your writing and her editing and what she does compared to what you do?
I write guidebooks.
Yep.
And so my topics are usually stuff that guys are more into, and it's a little hard sometimes. I don't mean to gender type, but it's a little mm-hmm. hard sometimes to explain some of my topics to female friends of ours.
Sure.
But
we can slow down for Mama T.
what my wife does great is she helped me with the female characters in my books.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a love interest. There's always like a wife.
Sure.
You know, a
long
suffering wife or an ex-wife or a, you know, soon to be wife. And she really helps me with figuring out how to write about them and what their thoughts might have been and what their motivations might have been. And even like, you know, just kind of describing the relationship, all the female side of stuff, because that's a pet peeve of mine when I'm reading like a thriller. If it's written by a male writer, they often just are ridiculous the way they write female characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
just totally absurd. And you just know that it's not right, you know?
Right, so right.
I would assert that if you've got a male writer who writes female characters well, there's usually somebody behind the scenes who's helping them.
Well, I will say this to you, Daniel. You either found a very, very good wife, or she's watching the show. That was a great no. That was a great answer. I mean,
she's talking to her sister in the other room.
Well, it's funny. Even with the shows we do and what I do, some of them get a little politically motivated or whatever motivation steers them. And my wife's got a PhD. She's a brainiac, and we don't always agree on things. There's personality conflicts. So I just wanted to know how that worked, and thank you. That was way more than me supposed to be telling you who I am. So I appreciate the answer. It's been bugging me all day. I really wanted to know that.
We were making a joke earlier today because I've been working for USA Today for a while now. And so we joke how, like, the upstairs is the USA Today, you know, Maryland Bureau, and downstairs is the Washington Post, Maryland Bureau.
Do you know a man named Peter Pritchard?
I used to work with a Matt Pritchard.
Okay, Peter was one of the, he was the editor of USA Today back in the 80s.
I only go back like
90s.
Months with them.
Oh, okay.
I only started there in September, so I don't know hardly anybody.
Okay, great, he wrote the book, The Making of McPaper. He was an editor of USA Today for years. I was just wondering when you said that, because his little brother is like one of my best friends, so I just thought I'd name drop. Thank you.
Now I got to ask.
Yeah, you better. Thank you.
Well, Screaming Sam, you go ahead and introduce yourself now.
How you doing?
Hey.
I was a Sam Kinison impersonator for years and years and years. Remember Sam Kinison? You look kind of young. Oh, yeah. This was me back in the day.
Move out of the desert!
What's that?
It's nothing but sand! Move out of the desert!
Yeah, you move where the food is.
And I had my own internet radio show, TV show, and I was asked to partner up with Sean and or Frankie Slauson, whatever his name is today.
Just don't call me shithead.
Here we are. We have a good show going on here. So nice meeting you. Thing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mad Dog.
I'm Anthony's brother, Mad Dog. Yeah,
Mad Dog, you go ahead now. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Mad Dog from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was a professional wrestler for almost 20-some years. I just was inducted into the Pennsylvania Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame with Bruno Sammartino and the likes of all the other old wrestling stars around here. Excuse me. Sam was my manager. We had a love-hate relationship there, you know. But I'm in the wrestling part of it. But anyway, I have no other talents, so take it away.
Well, you're on the podcast. You're talented to be a part of the podcast.
Tally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony, don't tell everybody. I got him into comedy, and he even got a paid gig for that and everything. I mean.
I like comedy. I was into comedy for a while.
Yep.
I got a gig. I got a Comcast cable commercial.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, he actually was on a commercial. I saw it. It was like, wow.
Yeah, my wrestling commercial when I won the belt. But anyways, yeah, I was in the grave digging business. If anybody like that, I'm the last one to let you down. If you look up some week about the form, I can keep on going.
No, that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough intro now.
Nice, Daniel.
Michael Massey, Or Mikey, we'll call you.
Go yeah. ahead. So, hey, introduce myself. My name is Michael Massey. I've done some TV work. I've done some had my own TV show here locally and did some movie and TV work. Been in the entertainment industry for about 20 plus years. So it's good meeting you. I don't know. I'm kind of new to this format. What do you do? You said you wrote books.
I write books and I've got a newspaper job and I was just writing books for a bunch of years, but the pay is up and down. So I finally got back into the 9-to-5 world.
What is some well-known books that you've written? Like what, you've written novels?
Well, I'll tell you my greatest hit. Although this book, this Blues Brothers book is doing very well. I'm not going to, hope I don't jinx myself. But my greatest hit was a book I wrote 8-9 years ago, which was about Andy Griffith and Don Knotts. And the reason I wrote that book is that Don Knotts was my brother-in-law. And that book is in its, I think, 13th paperback printing now.
Oh, wow. He was your brother-in-law?
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Wow. So what kind of guy was Don Knotts? Was he pretty cool?
Oh, you guys would love him. I mean, he was a great comedian, but also a really intelligent human being and really quiet up close, you know. We'd be at like family gatherings and he'd be sitting in the corner just minding his own. And I'd go over and talk to him. My wife would push me over to talk to him just because she thought he was lonely. He was a brilliant man and very ambitious. I mean, you guys know people who become that big.
I couldn't imagine.
Ambitious, super intelligent, super driven. And he was from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Wow. So he was nothing like Barney. I mean, it was a far cry from Barney.
Barney was a character he literally dreamed up. He told me about this. He dreamed him one night, dreamed this character, and that became the nervous man, which became Barney.
Wasn't he in like Three's Company or something too?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh, yes. The original Mr. Roper, or
but he's done movies and everything.
Or the second one.
Oh man.
Or Mr. Furley, Mr. Furley, yeah. Oh man, God, I couldn't imagine.
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken,
you know? Yeah. Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Could go on and on with his life story, man. All right,
wow.
And then who's left? I guess Mama T.
Mama T.
Hi. My boyfriend is Little Bobby. He's a blues musician. He's been on the charts with his own music since late 2022. He's had the number one and number two albums in Minnesota for 6 out of 7 weeks at the beginning of last year with God Made Me Blue and Killer Bee Sting. He just released a new album, Dealing from the Bottom of the Deck. We're hoping to see that on the charts by next week. We've got a bar here in northern Minnesota, McIntosh, called Little Bobby's Bar and Grill, where I write a little newsletter called The Little Bobby Buzz. That's also on Facebook. And we have blues festivals. Well, we have rock festivals, country festival. I mean, we've got several festivals. We've got an Elvis impersonator coming every month for the rest of the year. I mean, got a lot going on here. So, plus, apparently, I'm a producer on this little podcast called Renegade Radio.
That's right. You produce a pretty good interview we just had with Lori. I don't think I asked her any questions at all, but it's okay.
All right. You know, when I was doing my research on you, I found out your investigative reporting led to the release of two men who were in prison for life.
Yeah, that was back at the Miami Herald.
No way.
A long time ago. You know, DNA came out and there started to be all these false convictions. And I was a bee in the bonnet of the Broward Sheriff's Office for a few years. I also got to be pretty good friends with some of the homicide detectives, actually. We'd go have lunch at the Texas Roadhouse, and they respected my work. They understood that I was trying to do, you know, righteous work. But yeah, there was a couple big cases that unraveled, and their perspective would be this was kind of the bad old days where they would sometimes coerce confessions out of guys. But
sure.
Two cases, three guys, and yeah, the cases went away. They went free.
Wow.
Well, you're a hell of a writer then, and an investigative reporter.
No, the facts are the facts, you know. I just presented them.
You found them when nobody else could. That's
yeah,
that's,
and I mean, is something
you
like
changed
that
those people's lives.
Is something like that bigger than when you write, like, say, the Blues Brothers or, you know, King of the Blues. What stands at the top of your this is what I've done list? I mean, because freeing a couple people out of prison, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a really good question. I've been a reporter altogether maybe 25 years of my life.
Yep.
And reporting, you usually don't get to choose what you do.
Sure.
So, like, if you go to work for a newspaper, you end up covering, like, the city council or the school district or whatever. And so the stuff you were just asking me about was at the apex, like, after I met the Miami Herald mm-hmm. for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, and they started trusting me with bigger stuff. So I got to do really great stuff. I was involved in the 2000 election, like, counting ballots and stuff. Good stuff, interesting stuff.
Yep.
But a lot of times you start with a paper and you're kind of working your way up. So
sure.
When I spent 10 years of my life just writing books, pretty much nothing, well, raising kids too. I mean, I was helping with parenting. But those 10 years, I did what I wanted. And so that was the years when I did exactly what I wanted. I pursued passions, which is why I did a book about, you know, Mayberry. And I did a book about B.B. King. And I did a book about, you remember the race... Breaking Away movie about, like, I did a book that was about bicycle racing back in the golden age in the 70s and 80s, just like that. And
is that The Comeback?
Yeah, The Comeback. It was basically a real
life. I was thinking Rad Racer.
and all different stuff. My father was a bicycle racer. He was an immigrant from Belgium, and he raced bicycles. So that's why I did that.
So when you say for a long time there you did what you wanted,
yeah,
how does that pay the bills?
Not very well. I was listening to what your previous subject was saying. I mean, I didn't earn half, maybe half as much, but it was really rewarding work.
We didn't pay
taxes those years.
Yeah,
our tax bite this year is going to kill me, and it's because we're getting more salary. I mean, it pays to not get as much money. We were doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Work your butt off for what, you know?
Yeah, that's messed up.
Man, we're a big tax bracket now. I mean, reporting doesn't pay that well. I'm not talking like big bucks.
Sure, sure.
I don't think I've ever earned six figures. But you know, and in D.C., I'm probably the only guy on the street
yeah.
who hasn't six figures.
Right, but right, right.
That's great. It's fun work, though. It's rewarding.
Yeah, up here you can retire on that.
Oh, I know. God bless
you. Well, you can't. No, you can't.
You can't.
Well, have you ever got six figures before there, John? Or
no.
Six figures of beer at your cooler, probably.
Maybe.
I'm not embarrassed to say it because reporters don't earn that much, but it's fun work. It's interesting.
No, yeah. I went through the same thing.
Trying to be an artist and a podcaster.
Yeah. I mean, I went through the same thing. I started in radio over four decades ago, back when radio was radio and people relied on radio, and you thought you were really going to help change the world and keep people... You know, up on everything and blizzards up here. And we used to have to drive a snowmobile to work during sometimes. But, don't get you crap. Don't get you squat. What it does is 4 decades later, you can say, yeah, I did that for 4 decades. Because everything changes, you know. But, what you have done, that will never go away.
Well, the books... The books are really, they really can endure. And if you want to be remembered for a few years after you die, you know, write some books.
Yeah.
If the book catches on, like the people who love Andy Griffith's show, they're going to have those books till they die. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That really was humbling because the newspaper stuff, I mean, you mentioned that I did a few stories that made a difference. But a lot of that newspaper stuff, it just goes in one ear and out the other. And it's gone. It's just gone, like blowing down the street. But the books do can last. The books can last.
But back then, there were newspaper geeks. I mean, like right now, where we live, of a city of 70,000 people or whatever, we have a part-time newspaper. They do 2 prints a week. And it's crazy. 10 years ago when I was in radio, I read 3 newspapers every single day, 7 days a week. And now they're just not there. You know, so that's cool there, too.
The Grand Forks Herald was a pretty mighty paper back in the day.
I roomed
with the editorial page editor of the Grand Forks Herald in the spring of 1990. His name was Bruce Milhans. He was a great guy.
No way. Yeah. That is crazy.
Small world, eh?
Yeah. Small world. Wow.
So you know about the Grand Forks Herald, man. I remember
the Geraldo.
Yeah, I remember when, you know, I mean, We used to get the Sunday paper every week. I love the comics, so that's probably still good.
And now I actually buy the print twice a week, and on my show we call them the local part-time newspaper, and because I don't want to get in trouble, and I dog them, but they've got writers that are some very good friends of mine, and they're very, very good writers. It's just that the fact that they're not local anymore, so they don't use the local writers like they should, and it's a shame. Newspapers like radio. It's just, it's going away. Everything's online now. Everything's social media.
Yeah. That's what my next question is, actually. If you guys.
You're at it. You're at it.
So, as a creator, how do you feel about the difference between the online stuff that somebody can, they go on Amazon and find one of your books versus actually paying for and buying a hard copy?
I like to think that I'm neutral, because Amazon sells a lot of books for me. This book, this Blues Brothers book, they named it an editor's choice. In fact, I heard from my publisher that a high up editor at Amazon really liked the book, and
book
that's
month.
Wow. I mean, they're a behemoth, you know, they're a leviathan. I also have really great relationships with a bunch of bookstores, like all up and down the South, Acapella in Atlanta and Fountain in Richmond and Novel in Memphis and Square in Oxford, Mississippi. And I love those people, and they all have a signed book and they'll sell it, and it costs a little more. But I've noticed those stores that have a good relationship and a mailing list, those customers are loyal. And so I think it's a yin and a yang, and I love them both. I'm not going to say I like one or the other better. I can't say I cannot tell you. I'm not going to say anything negative about Amazon, because I look up my rankings all the time.
Can I interrupt here just for a second? Because I would say, if you're going to have an online, entity through Amazon, then yeah, you sell the book. You can sell hard copies, soft copy, and you can charge whatever you want. But if you're going to sell it as an actual hard copy with a signature, or say a QR code that you can add additionally to make it so it's separate from the Amazon purchase, well, that would obviously be the way to go. Because, if you were to think of, Harry Potter, you could just get a digital download. You could put it on a flash drive. You could listen to it wherever, or print it off. But if you actually have that hard copy with a signature, with a QR code, everything unique to that on a separate level, well, you can also offer that on Amazon.
That's where I was kind of going with that. Once you get that hard copy, that belongs to the person who paid for it, and you will always have that, versus when you have something online, the whole system could go down. You're going to be remembered for those hard copies.
You can have an NFT attached to every individual copy that comes out. And so that NFT makes it that one unique one that somebody can purchase. So
are you talking about physical media versus I'm a believer. I mean, I have 3,000 vinyl records at least, and several hundred CDs, and I'm never gonna subscribe to whatever Spotify, because I've lived long enough to know you can't be confident that it's always gonna be there.
Sure.
Whereas my Isley Brother record that I just bought yesterday will always be there.
You bought an Isley Brothers record yesterday. That's worth a round of applause right there. Right on.
But if you go on, say, Spotify or something along those lines, or you could get a Patreon page, you can get monetized and you can start getting paid. We just had a guy in the studio the other day that dropped off his CD, and I looked at him and I was like, dude, I don't know a single person that owns a CD player.
Some people still do, though.
Not too many anymore, but
not as much, but there's still some that do.
Yeah.
I believe in physical media, too, as you guys all know. I'm big on movies, and I hate the fact that places like Best Buy and Target, you know, they're slowly, well, Best Buy's already saying goodbye to all that stuff, but Target now is like, you know, what they've done. If you ever go to Target, yes, there's lots of books, and that's great, you know, for all the authors out there, but all the media, they're just like doing just what's trending now. It's not, oh, look, I found an old movie that's from Arrow Video that Target has that I want a copy of. No, I got to go online now to do that. So I suppose when it comes to all that stuff, you know, thank God for places like Target and Barnes & Noble that will sell a physical copy of your books. But, yeah, I mean, Amazon is helpful. You know, I mean, obviously, if you've got a good relationship with them, and it seems like you have, because you've done a lot of different books, and a lot of people like what you do, and it's a good style. And why blues? Was that just your most interesting thing that you really liked to write about?
Why blues is a good question. So 2 books ago, if you go back to, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, one of my, you know, life's wishes was to do a music book. And this is going to sound mercenary, but I had a few ideas. I don't love just one thing. I mean, I was going to, at one point, I was all set to write a book about George and Tammy, George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Sure. Oh, boy.
And someone else,
I think Showtime did that.
Got a contract for it. Guy who does a really good podcast, actually. Rhinestones and Cocaine, you know that podcast?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at another point, I was all set to do a biography of Merle Haggard. And another guy, very talented writer, got that book. You know, so it goes. And then there's a bunch of other people I would have liked to have written books about, but it's been done. And, well, B.B. King was just staring me in the face. I mean, he's the preeminent blues guy. And, I mean, one of my all-time favorites, and it hadn't been done in, like, 30 years or something. I mean, basically, nobody had written a big literary sort of biography on him. So out of the characters out there and who you could write a book about who are musical characters, he was just, it just screamed out to be done. So that was the reason. And then personally, my entree to the blues, I'm not like a lifelong hard blues guy. My interest was more growing up. I was into, you know, Cream and Rolling Stones and the Animals, all the guys who stole from the
blues. Well, yeah, it used to be blues. Now it's rock. Yeah.
And I, what came to obsess me, and the thing that I wondered about B.B. King was, I had this hunch that B.B. King was the guy who kind of created the kind of solo electric guitar sound, you know, like Spinal Tap,
mm-hmm.
You know, where the guy goes like, you know, yeah. My hunch was that B.B. had created that sound.
I thought basically that was the Bee Gees.
No, on the guitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not that. That's what the guy is talking.
So that basically an entire generation of lead guitarists, except, I mean, basically, other than the slide guys, took their cue from B.B. King.
Sure.
Because he was the, I would argue, the originator of that melodic lead guitar. So that was the thing that really got me into mm-hmm. it. Was, wow, this guy created the job description for your Jimmy Page and your Dave Gilmore,
so,
basically.
If I can make a suggestion, because so I'm kind of coming in and out of this, so if I'm missing some parts of this, excuse me. But you were talking about, you know, maybe making like a piece on Merle Haggerty. Is that the
Merle Haggard?
No, Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Somebody's drunk. No, I'm just
Merle Haggerty. Yeah.
Yeah. I would, in my opinion, I would suggest that instead of doing that, you would do it on Ben Breen.
Oh yeah. Well, he probably doesn't know who that is. Ben Breen is comes from a family of natives up here. Actually, one of his brothers was an actor. He was in what was the Kevin Costner?
Dancing with Wolves.
Ben Breen is a nationally worldwide known artist who has created like the UND Fighting Sioux logos and the statues, and he's got stuff out at the state capitol in Bismarck and all over, but this guy is crazy. He's got a great history about him. His whole family history. In fact, I just ran into his brother at the car show on Saturday. You talk about a history there, man. That might be a good one because
a $20 million logo.
Yeah.
That he got paid $2,000 for.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about there. Anyway.
Yeah. Huh.
Fascinating.
That is interesting.
You sure that wasn't the snowmobile show instead of the car show up there?
Hey, we it was 70 degrees and sunny on Saturday. There was probably, I bet you, 100 bikes outside when we walked out the door that just drove to the show. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, at least 100.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I figure, you know, if you're going to do another blues book, if you ever do, you could do like a Joe Bonamassa book and you could be like, I could be his doppelganger.
Yeah.
You
know?
Because you look, I get Joe Bonamassa vibes from you. So.
You know, I'd actually really like to do a biography on Little Bobby, but I think as a successful writer, you probably could do a better job. Well, he's had a hell of a life.
It's a brutal business, you know, nonfiction books. You've got to have a subject that is going to sell and sell in sufficient numbers. And so you've got your, like, I'm thinking of stuff that came out in the last several years. You've got your Led Zeppelin,
mm-hmm.
got your ZZ Top, you know, you've got.
You could just do it on me.
And all that stuff will sell huge. And if you're going to do a book on a character in comedy, for that matter, or an actor or whatever, it's got to be somebody who's pretty big, or else the publisher won't buy the book.
Sure.
You're like, who is that?
Yeah, like my brother-in-law was interested in, you know, Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah. He used to come to our studio up here all the time.
Like, fascinating guy and really funny. But like 8 years ago, whenever this was, I was pitching it as an idea, and my editor and my literary agent hadn't really heard of him. So they're like, well, and there was only like 500,000 YouTube clicks. And, I don't know, man, you know, I don't know, you know. It's brutal.
Yeah, now look at the history of Mitch Hedberg. I mean,
yeah.
Well, he's gotten bigger, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, before he died.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He used to come up here and play a comedy club in Grand Forks all the time. And so the radio station I worked at, he would come in and sit in with the morning show. And he would be like, I need to take a break. He'd walk right out the we're right downtown, Grand Forks. He'd stand right outside the back door and light up a big old doobie. I need to take a break. And then he'd come back in like, nothing, no big deal. And he'd sit down and do the rest of the show with us. Yeah, back in the day.
That's funny. Well, we don't want to keep you on for too much longer there, Daniel. We appreciate your patience and coming on the show. We started early today just because of doing the special here at the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. And so I think I'll just say, you know, for anybody that hasn't learned much about you in this interview that wants to know more, how can they find you?
Oh, well, if you're interested in, I'll just do a 90-second pitch for my book.
Sure.
So it's about the movie, The Blues Brothers, the making thereof. It's got like 100 pages of deep dive on all the crazy insanity that went on while they were making that movie in Chicago and L.A. And then but more than that, I talk about all the way back to Belushi coming out of Chicago and Aykroyd coming out of Canada, and they were both in Second City. And so I talk about that whole improv generation mm-hmm. that produced, you know, Schitt's Creek guys and
love
John
it.
Candy and Gilda Radner and Joe Flaherty from Pittsburgh.
Sure.
And, you know, Dave Thomas and all the guys who went into Lampoon, National Lampoon, where you get your Vacation and your Caddyshack. And then our boys, Aykroyd, Belushi, wind up a founding cast of SNL, so I lead the reader through that. And they create these goofy characters. Belushi gets massive through Animal House, Bluto. And so the book is all the way up to the movie, which is like the big payoff. And so it kind of, if you're from that generation where you're into, if you think Caddyshack is funny and Animal House and Blues Brothers, and you're into that kind of humor and Lemmings and all that, then it's a book for you. Mm-hmm. And if you just Google Blues Brothers book, you'll find it. I mean, it's
out there. Absolutely. That's
I
how
I can't wait to read it. How many? So I know that Belushi like would like get all messed up and like just go knock on random doors. How many stories did you actually interview anybody that he did that to, or just the one story?
I didn't want to take advantage or go overboard on the drugs, because everybody knows Belushi did drugs. I there's plenty of that in the book. There's the famous story where they're shooting at the mall, the mall that they destroyed, which was already a dead mall, but they rebuilt it, destroyed it all over again. And one night, you know, it's lunch, which means it's 2 a.m. in the middle of a night shoot. And he just wanders off and winds up in some dude's couch, you know, eating his leftover pizza. Belushi would do, they would do like walkabouts, you know, like from Australia, like a walkabout where he would just, I mean, basically just wander off and disappear for a couple of days at a time and turn up. He'd call like his minder, his bodyguard guy and say, hey, come get me, you know. He'd be at some random guy's house 10 miles away. He was a fascinating character. But I'll say this, for all the sadness of the drugs and the fact he died of all that, it's a fun story because he was so effing funny and everything he did was so hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
A funny guy that you'll laugh your way through the book until you're crying at the end, I guess.
I got one last question for you, Daniel. You want a Pulitzer? Is that correct?
A piece of a Pulitzer.
Okay.
Julian Gonzalez. You remember that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. So what, do they give you a piece of that or do you have a,
yeah, they sawed it into, no. I was one of like, I don't know how many reporters, a handful or 6 or 8 reporters who were called in that day to report on Elian Gonzalez getting whatever liberated from the ranch house where he was. And so it was a staffed Pulitzer Prize. But, you know, my story with my byline on it was on there.
Sure.
It's better than no Pulitzer.
Well, I'm just wondering if they gave you something to put home. And if they did, do you have like a trophy case or is it on a shelf or is it in your car in a trunk?
I've got a whole box filled with these wooden journalism awards. It may be in there somewhere. I don't know. It's just paperweights at this point.
Oh wow. Okay. Thank you.
Well, one thing
over 24 national and regional journalism awards.
Yeah, still waiting for number 25 or 26.
Well, we appreciate you, Daniel, and honestly to the crew and to John here at Roberts and Paul here at Grand Forks Best Source and all the new supporters and hopefully people that liked what they saw today. We'll be back again next week for another episode, but we'll be doing it the way we normally do it. I'll be at my house, but we will be coming back here really soon. Maybe the week that Antique Man comes by, maybe if he can come to Grand Forks, we can do this together and get Mama T involved finally. But other than that, I appreciate everybody for being on the show, and thank you for watching another great edition of Renegade Radio right here on YouTube, Facebook, and everywhere else, and we'll see you next time.